Today on Seculo, a new bombshell revelation reveals massive election interference in 2020.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
And welcome to Seculo. You know, we've talked about earlier in the week, Secretary Blinken, who's been caught by members of Congress because he testified, you know, under oath to them and to their committee staff when he was in his process to be confirmed as Secretary of State. And they asked him about his relationship with Hunter Biden, the Hunter Biden letter. They asked, they said that, you know, Mike Morrell came in here, who was a former acting director of the CIA under the Obama administration, and said that you called him when you were working for the campaign, for Joe Biden's campaign, and said, can you get this letter done? And he's denied. He said, I'm not a political actor. Now we have a bombshell email. The day the letter was released to the public, October 19th, 2020, from Mike Morrell, a former head of the CIA, to John Brennan, another former head of the CIA, both under the Obama-Biden administration. And in the email, Mike Morrell asked John Brennan, John, can I add your name to this list? We're adding, and he goes through Leon Panetta and some of the others as well, some who didn't, by the way, like Mike Rogers or Dan Coats, so they did not get any Republicans on this letter, who are at least in a more partisan actors. And he's going to add a lot of other intelligence community career folks as well. But here's the kicker. Why are they doing the letter on Hunter Biden? Is it really because they just fear Russian disinformation? Don't see any of that in this email. That's not even mentioned. It says, we're trying to give the campaign, particularly during the debate on Thursday, a talking point to push back on Trump on this issue. Brennan writes back, add my name to the list. Good initiative. Thanks for asking me to sign on. Well, all Brennan was asked to do was sign on to a political letter to help Biden during his campaign. This is the intelligence community interfering in our elections, because then it was banned. We have a FOIA right now where we get a status report June 29th from the FBI, because we know the FBI went to social media companies and told them, do not deliver the Hunter Biden laptop story. Here on Twitter, you are banned.
So this is I'm holding in my hand the actual lawsuit that we filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, which is Washington, D.C., where we have asked for the information, the background, and the emails, text messages, whatever it might be, memos that were created as to why this took place. What was the impetus for the FBI to go to the social media companies and say, don't serve this because it's Russian disinformation, when we now know that, in fact, it was Mike Morrell and John Brennan, and these are two former CIA chiefs, directors, Morrell was an acting director, that really were, you know, promoting this. And of course, it was Antony Blinken that was getting it all arranged in the first place. But when you talk about election interference, you don't have to talk about machine manipulations and all these allegations, that most of which were never proven. None of which were proven on the machine stuff. But as it relates to information that's in the public sphere or not in the public sphere, which is another way to manipulate things, you got to ask yourself, and that's why we're doing that at the ACLJ in federal court, what was the FBI told to do, who told them to do it, who initiated this, and what actually did they say to these social media companies?
We know that Mark Zuckerberg already said the FBI came to them,
yes,
and said, take it, you got to watch it. What they did was not serve it. You could post it, but they did not serve it, so people would not see it. Like we talk about the shadow banning, that was shadow banning certain posts. We know Twitter took the New York Post off. Remember they banned the New York Post account?
Yep.
And everyone knew it was real. I mean, it was the photos.
But that's why we're in federal court. We're going to actually get an answer to this, and we're going to hold people accountable.
But
because
now we're
why we're doing it at the ACLJ.
A cabal of the intelligence community interfering in the 2020 election. And we're talking about a couple of weeks before the election, 2 days before the final presidential debate. We'll play sound from that debate, too, how Biden utilized this letter to push back on Trump in the debate. Heads of the CIA playing politics like this, with facts that are important to the American people when they're making a decision on who to elect as their commander-in-chief. Share the broadcast. If you're watching the broadcast, we'll be right back on Seculo. Sekulow. So this letter, what's interesting about this email, this is brand new, folks. This email was dated, October 19th in the morning. It only took about 18 minutes for John Brennan to decide, as a former CIA director, I'll join a letter that a laptop is totally Russian disinformation without asking any questions, because he knew it would assist the Biden campaign. It would try
in
to give
the campaign. It was done for the campaign. Be clear.
Trying to give the campaign, this is from Mike Morrell to Brennan, particularly during the debate on Thursday, a talking point to push back on Trump on this issue. So the letter then goes out later that day, October 19th. Now listen to what happens at the debate on October 22nd.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the character. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend, Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly where he's going.
Here's the problem.
That was a lie.
Okay. It was not only was it a lie, but this was during the heat of an election. So I want to reiterate this.
We were kept from seeing it.
Yeah, well, the American people were kept from seeing it because the FBI took the unusual step of contacting social media companies, which we don't know this till after the fact, and went to these social media companies and said, don't serve this story about the Biden laptop. So what your American Center for Law and Justice did then was file a federal lawsuit. That federal lawsuit wants to know and will get all of the information is who came up with this plan to tell these social media companies not to cover the Hunter Biden laptop, who came up with this Russian disinformation line of argument, who's responsible for it, and that's how you hold people accountable, because we can take all of that information, march it across the street in our offices in Washington, we're next to the Supreme Court, but we're one block from the Capitol, and we'd march it over to the Capitol and give it to Congress. And this is where, folks, it makes a difference. Now, you've got to ask yourself also, this is classic disinformation, so coordinated that the Morrell-Brennan email exchange, which talks about this as a talking point for a campaign, and this is where you got to understand what we're dealing with. It's a talking point for a campaign, but take it a step further. They knew that's what it was going to be. In other words, this wasn't, we better get ahead of this Russian disinformation. It was, this is a talking point for the campaign, and then the president of the United States now, Joe Biden, the candidate then, used it in the debate.
Yeah, I mean, this
exactly as they asked him to.
And we just played it for you. So it was set up perfectly. Not only did it shut it down from voters being able to see it, to make so if that could have an impact on how they voted, to see the corruption, also the emails back and forth about, you know, helping the big guy out. It wasn't just the salacious photos that kind of confirmed this was Hunter Biden's, by the way, but it was the emails about his getting money to his dad from foreign nationals. This is, remember, yesterday, Grassley comes out, and this is Senator Grassley, saying, we know that the FBI has a 1023 form from a confidential informant who says that a foreign national, and spells it all out for them, paid Joe Biden to influence policy when he was vice president of the United States. And John Solomon reported it's absolutely Ukrainian. Now we're in a war in Ukraine. I mean, you put all this stuff together, you realize the impact it had on our election, the impact it has on our foreign policy decisions, yep. Fire the prosecutor, endless war in Ukraine. We had Blinken this week saying Russians have failed, but we're not bringing the war to an end. We're now going on a counteroffensive
right.
with our military equipment. And I want to play, I mean, what Tulsi Gabbard said yesterday on the broadcast, and she's a member of our broadcast team, a stolen democracy is what these intelligence officials are responsible for. Take a listen.
Secretary Blinken outright blatantly lying once again about his role in instigating this letter of 51 senior intelligence officials that essentially stole our democracy by claiming, hey, this laptop is potentially Russian disinformation and therefore should not be seen by anyone in weeks leading up to a very consequential presidential election.
So, I mean, there you have it. I mean, it's a stolen democracy. So, you know, you hear these things about how there's election manipulation. You don't have to be that sophisticated. You just have to have the right contacts. Those contacts could then go from you to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, from the FBI to the social media companies to tell them, don't post this information out there. Don't get this out there. Don't serve it, which is where people are getting their news from now.
Yeah.
And that's how you stop. Well, that's how you impact the election.
The cable news, because they could not put it on their websites.
Right.
They couldn't share clips of it. So if they talked about it, all they really did talk about it was the New York Post being banned.
Right.
And the letter.
Correct.
The letter became the story. The letter, it became, wow, all these intel officials, all these Democrat intel officials said it's Russian disinformation. There is no way. We now know. Mike Morrell didn't like attach a document explaining to Brennan how they believe this is Russian disinformation. No, Brennan said, this is great because... good initiative. Thanks for asking me to sign on. Add my name to the list in 18 minutes. You would think CIA directors and former CIA directors, before adding their name to a letter that says something is not true.
Russian disinformation, more than that true.
It came from Russia to influence the election against
Biden.
Right. So we're going to ban it from public view. And we want it banned from public view so that we can give Joe Biden a talking point in the debate in 3 days against President Trump, which
exactly
they absolutely did, and it shut the issue down. I know a lot of you would have said, I believe Trump on that, but to the American voter who is not as partisan and not as chosen their candidate,
decides elections,
they heard that, they think that Donald Trump was lying.
Yeah, but let me, but again, what I'm holding in my hand, and we'll put it up on the screen, this is the copy of the lawsuit, federal lawsuit, that we had filed in Washington, D.C., American Center for Law and Justice versus FBI. And it is exactly about this. We want to know who said that this was Russian disinformation. Now we know that information. What they said to the social media companies, why the FBI took this unusual step of communicating with the distributors of information on social media platforms to squelch this story. Now, in 2016, you had the FBI do Crossfire Hurricane. Jordan and I know a lot about that. We litigated that. We represented the president both in the Mueller investigation and the impeachment, which was on the Ukraine, of all things. And then in 2020, it's the laptop stories, Russian disinformation again. And people scoffed at Trump when he said this. I want to play that soundbite again from the debate. I think it's important for people to hear it. Here it is.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the care. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly what.
Is this
that's
where you're
exactly
going?
What
this is
told.
Where he's going.
But see, to the normal viewer, they would say, "Well, 51 intelligence officials said it's not true." So Donald Trump must have gotten it wrong and move on. So at least that wasn't going to be something you're going to decide who to vote for on.
Right.
That got, you know, instead of extensive questioning on that, Joe Biden didn't have to answer any questions about the big guy getting 10% and the cut to the big guy. Are you the big guy? You know, questions like that. And then remember when Blinken gets asked about this, this is after Mike Morrell testifies to Congress and says, I wouldn't have even sent that email to Brennan unless Tony Blinken called me, and that's what put it on my radar. He asked me to do it, and Blinken still denies that. Bite five.
Can you explain what your role was in that and if you incentivized it?
Well, first, one of the great benefits of this job is that I don't do politics and don't engage in it. But with regard to that letter, I didn't, wasn't my idea, didn't ask for it, didn't solicit it, and I think the testimony that the former deputy director of the CIA, Mike Morrell, put forward confirms that.
They always try to act like they're above everything because they're the elites. He's a political hack, and I am too. And Rick Rennell, he works on campaigns too. He'll be joining us, and he's also been in the intelligence world. But they try to rise above, like they're too good to be campaign officials. But guess who Blinken was? A Biden campaign official. His name's not on the letter because he was soliciting it as a campaign staffer. He just doesn't want to really, as a now Secretary of State, as his fancy pants, doesn't want to admit that he was just a campaign staffer hoping to get someone elected who would do anything politically to do so. And you get the questioning from Jim Jordan. He said Mike Morrell's statements confirmed what he said. This is what Jim Jordan asked Mike Morrell. Prior to Secretary Blinken's call, you did not have any intent to write this statement. Morrell, I did not. Okay, so his call triggered it? Yes, Morrell says, yes, it did. That intent you. Morrell, yes, absolutely. He also said one of the two goals in releasing the letter, help, which we now see in the email, help Vice President Biden the debate, assist him in winning the election. Morrell actually testified to that under oath. And Blinken is trying to say that testimony helps his case, that he had nothing to do with it?
No, it's baloney.
He literally said, I wouldn't have even written the email to Britain if Tony Blinken didn't call me.
But this is exactly why we are going to fight on this. But you understand, this was squelched while President Trump was the commander-in-chief. Understand that. Okay, folks? This was going on in the FBI and in the intelligence communities while Trump was president. So you can know what they're capable of doing. Support the work of the ACLJ. That's why we're in court to get to the bottom of this and hold people accountable.
Yeah, donate today at ACLJ.org. We'll continue this discussion. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. And the IRS, we'll be talking about coming up next. Secchio, we are taking your calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I think this all ties together because we're going to keep talking about this intelligence issue. We got Rick Rennell, who's part of our team. He is one of those intelligence community officials. Yes. I mean,
he was the director of national intelligence.
Yeah, so very, level. Very similar to who was getting a request on this on the Democrat side to sign a letter. You know, one of the questions I want to ask him is just even if you got something like this, and you were even interested in possibly saying maybe this was something like that, wouldn't you have asked like a follow-up email and like, do you have some evidence of this before I put my name to it? And it's just, and then we found out later it's what they put their name to was not only untrue, it was just for politics. So we'll talk to them about that with Rick Rennell. And we'll take your calls too at 1-800-684-3110. But at the same time, while the Democrats, I mean, this is happening right now as we speak, AOC's talking about it now, are trying to defund the police. They are continuing those efforts while cities crumble, while we see mass shootings. Guess who shows up when there's an active shooter? Not the feds. They show up after the fact. But they're not the first call. The first call is the local police. But they've said, we don't want a militarized local police. But guess who they want to militarize? The IRS. Now, we talked to you about how the IRS wanted to add 1,200 new agents. And they put up the ad again, you know, the employment ad again. Said you've got to be willing to shoot to kill, machine guns, automatic weapons, and they show a law enforcement official with full, like SWAT team tactical gear on, and now we know from the IRS a report, and this is an official government report, that the IRS has been stockpiling weapons, ammunition and combat gear, $10 million of ammunition and combat gear since 2020.
Before you go further, my first job out of law school was with Chief Counsel's Office of Treasury for the IRS. IRS was our client. The idea of weaponized IRS agents at this level, I mean, there were some special agents that would carry a weapon if they were doing a particular security kind of thing, too.
Like at your office.
Yeah, because we had incidents occasionally. But here, you're talking about, when you say $10 million, here's what they have. $2.3 million on ammunition, $1.2 million on ballistic shields, $474,000 on Smith & Wesson rifles, $463,000 on Berettas, 1301 tactical shotguns, and $240,000 on body armor vests. This is the IRS, and then they have $1.3 million of various other gear for criminal investigation agents.
Yeah, and what this gets to, again, is they're
weaponization.
They're not supposed to be the front line of a raid.
That's the FBI.
The FBI does that for them, and then they come in after that is secured to take the data. We're not talking about like having security guards at IRS offices. That's not what automatic weapons are for. That's not what body armor is for. That's not what a tactical shotgun is not used for. Protecting an office or IRS employees. We also looked up, the IRS has never had an agent die in any kind of a shooting incident.
Well,
They've had only four deaths in their criminal division of agents. Two were like heart attacks on the job. Two were a car accident that was not even related to a chase or anything like that. So they don't even have like a history of saying
They don't have enforcement. So when they issue a subpoena or what they call request for the production of documents, an information request, they don't have enforcement power. The IRS has to go to the Department of Justice. My office, would be originating the document request. And then if I wanted to get it enforced when I was with Treasury, I had to call Andy Economo's office, the U.S. Attorney's office, for the enforcement of that subpoena. And if there was a criminal matter and it was a dangerous criminal matter, they would send in the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who has, by the way, a criminal division on tax.
Right.
So this, the problem here is the weaponization of
everything.
A federal agency.
Yep.
Is the EPA now weaponized? I'm sure.
Well, I mean, that's what we figure out. But they won't add more border agents.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that's going to be a disaster next week. Title 42 is coming to a close. So we know that they're giving $10 billion over for the IRS. They want to add their 1,200 new special agents. This is what it says in their job listing. As a special agent, I mean, how many people have this skill? Combine your accounting skill with law enforcement skills to investigate financial crimes. These are the people that are supposed to be accountants willing to shoot to kill.
Yes.
That does not seem like the same person.
No, and it doesn't seem like it'd be a big market for that.
No, but they think they can have an additional 1,200 to their addition. That's additional 2,000. So they're going to have a 3,000-person machine, automatic weapon army at the IRS?
Well, the problem is, though,
that's what they're trying to build.
Yeah, but the problem is, this is the federal government
knocking on
weaponizing
door.
Another agency. And what we have to look at in all of this is the weaponization of the agency itself. What is it that causes the government to think that arming these kind of agencies, civil enforcement agencies for the most part, why would you be weaponizing them? What would be the point of it? And it goes back to It ties right into the disinformation campaign that we're in federal court. I want to launch an investigation of this. I want to launch an investigation of the IRS's criminal division as it relates to weaponization. And I mean, when I'm talking about weaponization, I'm not talking about political weaponization. I'm talking about actual weaponization.
Yeah,
we need to know why are they doing this? Who is authorizing this? What are the memos that are sending forth what these policies are? I'd like to know who drafted that job description. Your accounting skills with your ability
to use
a weapon.
To Matt Taibbi's door. So the next time they show up to your door, they're going to show up with automatic weapons? That seems like a more dangerous situation. It's not like they get a phone call at the IRS and say, we need you immediately. There's an active crime going on or an active shooter investigation. So the same people that want to take these kind of weapons away from our police departments,
yes,
who do have to respond to those phone calls.
They love weaponizing federal agencies.
Lord knows, there were two in Georgia yesterday.
Yeah.
Two going on. One in Atlanta, one in Moultrie, Georgia. Who got the call? Not the IRS, not even the FBI. It was local police who got there first.
Moultrie had an issue?
Yeah, there was a person there killed two family members, their employer at McDonald's, and then themselves. Four people. I mean, that's a lot for a city like that.
That's a small town.
Happened. It didn't get as much news at first because there was the guy running around Atlanta.
Yeah, you had the Atlanta thing, and then Moultrie... Yeah, where your mother's family's from, that area.
Yeah, I mean, so I saw in the news, I was like, there was another shooting there yesterday? And what I'm saying is, who's on the front lines of that? We were here in Nashville, there was a school shooting. It's the local Nashville Metro PD. They showed up and killed the shooter. By the time that ATF and FBI show up,
it's local, investigating after the fact.
Right. The dangerous situation has actually been calm down.
But
if you do need to do a raid, can't the IRS call the FBI?
That's how it is done, actually, Jordan.
They need you.
They coordinate with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who does the criminal enforcement. But here's what I want to tell people. When we uncover these issues, folks, and investigate them, we are actually taking legal action to do this. So as we mentioned with the Intel report, and we're going to get into that in the next half hour of the broadcasting and with Rick Rennell, when we took in, we'll take your calls too on this. We actually went to federal court. I'm holding in my hand the federal lawsuit that we filed in federal court. There it is on the screen as well. This is the federal lawsuit on this issue of these Intel officials going to the, I know it sounds crazy, going to the social media companies and telling them, hey, look, don't talk about this Hunter Biden thing. It's Russian disinformation. And of course, all the social media companies did exactly what the FBI said. During an election, by the way, used as a debate point by the then Democratic nominee for president, Joe Biden, taking place while Donald Trump was actually president of the United States. You realize that? Is that sinking in, everybody? To show you how deep that deep state is? Trump was the president and this was going on. That's why your support of the ACLJ is so critical. We're in federal court to uncover this and to get action and hold people accountable because of you. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. If you're watching on our social media, We encourage you to share it with your friends. We're going to be back in 1 minute with the second half hour of the broadcast. Rick Grinnell is going to join us. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
And welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. We're about to be joined by our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, who is one of the officials that would have been similar. Of course, he didn't get asked to sign this letter, but you know, a former acting director of national intelligence, a former ambassador to Germany and State Department official, Rick Grinnell. Because even the fact that these guys, you know, what I was shocked by with the letter, with the email, was that it was the day the letter went out saying this was Russian disinformation, right? The day it goes out is when Mike Morrell, the former CIA director, writes another former CIA director, John Brennan. And it's like a three-sentence email. There's no attachment saying this is why we believe it's, you know, Russian disinformation.
It's just, this is what we're saying.
It says, can I add your name to this list? Trying to give the campaign, particularly during the debate on Thursday, a talking point to push back on Trump on this issue. Not to protect America. Not because we actually believe this is Russian disinformation. We just are trying to give Joe Biden and the campaign
cover,
a talking point for the next debate. That's as political of the intelligence community. I mean, talking about a politicized deep state. When you've got a bunch of former CIA directors in a cabal together saying we're gonna put an end to this for Joe Biden because we need to help him in the debate. I mean, that's why people have lost trust in so many of these government institutions. The ones that we actually had the most trust in, like even though we didn't know what the CIA was always up to, you thought that they were at least doing, as we said,
work
that was difficult. You might not always agree with their decisions,
right,
but they were trying to do good things. Same with the FBI. They're humans. They're not perfect, but they would try to do the right thing. Like, that would be the starting point. Not politics. Not presidential debates.
Yep. That's why we're in federal court on this, folks, as I said earlier. That's why we went to federal court to get the information. Let's go ahead and take Becky's call on line 4. Becky, welcome to broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi. My kind of question, comment was that are these 50 people that signed off on this lie letter, kind of colluded on it, is there like a public's names list? Because most of them, I'm wondering how many of them are still in office. They were biased against Trump and he's running again.
So some of the lower level folks on here, not like the former CIA directors, but Gerald O'Shea, who signed the letter, still works at the CIA, it appears. I mean, you got to look that up. They don't always say senior operations and comms official at the Central Intelligence Agency. So you can still find them on the website, and yep, it doesn't say former.
And a lot of them also are working for private contractors in the intelligence community as well, or defense contractors.
Right.
So if they're not working for the government directly,
anymore,
they may in fact be working indirectly.
Some go to Congress.
Yeah.
They work on the intel committees there.
Exactly.
Because they've got the clearances.
But this is why we go to, look.
But yeah, we know that some of these are still employed.
So this is why we go to federal court on those things, because as the American people, you have the right to know what your government's doing, what information they're getting out, what disinformation in this particular case they're getting out, and hold people accountable. That's exactly why we went to federal court on this. And we have a status conference, actually, status report we have to file with the court towards the latter part of June on this case, because we're just getting information. We're going to fight to get the information. But you, the American people, the taxpayers that are paying for all of this, need to get that information. You need to have that information in your possession because it's your government. And at the end of the day, that is the most important part of this. It's our government. We, the people, we have the right to this information. And that's why your support of the ACLJ lets us do that. We get to go to federal court to fight for you. And we're going to continue to do that with your support of the ACLJ. Let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org and support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. When we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell.
Yeah, all this information, too, is up at ACLJ.org. You can see the FOIA. We know that they have to respond June 29th in a joint status report about the documents. So we're pushing there to get the documents about the banning of this on social media that we know the FBI at the time, not former FBI, the FBI officials at the time were going to those companies and saying, do not allow this to be served. And we now realize, all for politics. You could suspect that. We have confirmation of it now. This email confirms it. It's not an allegation. It's a confirmation. We'll be right back with Rick Grinnell. All right, folks, a great day to have our Senior Advisor for Foreign Policy and National Security join us because he was the Acting Director of National Intelligence. And we talk about the Hunter Biden letter, again, with those 51 former intel officials. There were a lot of people with that kind of title on there. There were former CIA directors, two of them right at the top. And we know that Secretary Blinken was leading the charge for the letter. He's not on it because he was the campaign staffer or campaign associate, even though he says he's above politics. He was the campaign associate who was putting the letter together. And Mike Morrell said the only reason he even asked people like Brennan to sign the letter, or he himself put together this signing campaign, was because Tony Blinken asked him to. And in the letter, it says, in the email to John Brennan, I just want to say it one more time. This is the same day the letter goes out. So it's not like these guys did any research or work before they put their names on it. He just says, we're trying to give the campaign, particularly during the debate on Thursday, a talking point to push back on Trump on this issue. And then John Brennan, 18 minutes later, no questions. Okay, Mike, add my name to the list. Good initiative. Thanks for asking me to sign on. I mean, Rick, when we talk about election interference, this is about as real as election interference gets. When you have former CIA directors putting together a letter, they don't even know if it's true or not. They don't even ask if it's true or not. They might even know it's false, to impact a presidential debate.
I thought it was pretty shameful that not a single one came forward and said, hey, can we see some of the intelligence that you have on this? No one asked for a briefing. No one asked for any information. These people just immediately became political. And when you combine the Russian collusion and the Steele dossier, I got to say, we have to have a total revamping of the CIA and intelligence agencies' leadership. These people are way too political. They've politicized intelligence. Then they blame the other side. They have been leaking to Congress, to partisans in Congress, who then manipulate. And let's just remember, they leaked this innuendo campaign to the Washington Post, who first ran an article suggesting, oh, you know, the agencies are now looking at the laptop to see if it's Russian disinformation. They leak that to the Post. The Post dutifully prints it. And then they use that to say, look at this. There's a whole bunch of smoke here. There must be fire. Sign this letter. The last point I think that I'd like to raise when you look at this email is that they say they're working on Dan Coats. Why are they thinking that Dan Coats is going to sign a letter that is completely political, Dan Coats being a Republican? I think that we need to go and figure out who is working against President Trump, because this is honestly, you know, you have to ask yourself, why is it that every single day they're coming at Donald Trump? Every single day, reporters and political people.
Rick, I said this in the last segment of the broadcast. I don't know if you were able to catch any of it, but this is what I said. I said, people need to understand, our listeners, our members, the ACLJ members, people listening to these broadcasts or watching on our social media, you understand this took place, this letter and this disinformation and this going to the FBI, going to these social media companies under Donald Trump's watch. In other words, they did this while Trump was president. That's what's got me so concerned.
It's so outrageous, but it just goes to show that the intelligence agencies are filled with partisans. And by the way, this is not a controversial statement. I know a lot of intelligence officials, career intelligence officials, who are not partisan, who work every day to make America safe. And they're not interested in playing a partisan game because they're interested in keeping America safe. There are a lot of people, the majority of people are working hard for our country, but they know who the partisans are. Everybody knows who's leaking. Everybody knows who is trying to, you know, push an agenda. I mean, on that list, too, was Sue Gordon. Remember, Sue Gordon is the one who was complaining that she wasn't getting a big job in the Trump administration. And here we see she's part of the group that is working against Donald Trump politically. So it's the same people who promote these career intelligence officials or career officials in the media because they, you know, they say, oh, these people are above reproach and they're just working for the country. Meanwhile, we're catching them working against the Republican.
Yeah, I mean, as we pointed out, I mean, this is happening while President Trump is president. They're even talking about going to Republicans. But I want to play the sound from Blinken again because I just want to keep, because it's just unbelievable that he sits down with Fox News and says, and just lies to him. And this is after he's gone through all this confirmation process saying he had nothing to do with any of this. And then he gets asked directly on Fox. He does it again. Take a listen.
Can you explain what your role was in that and if you incentivized it?
Well, first, one of the great benefits of this job is that I don't do politics and don't engage in it. But with regard to that letter, I didn't wasn't my idea, didn't ask for it, didn't solicit it. And I think the testimony that the former deputy director of the CIA, Mike Morrell, put forward confirms that.
What we know, Rick, is that he didn't send the email to Brennan. He had Mike Morrell solicit it. But he did go to Mike Morrell, the former CIA director, and ask him to do it. I mean, that was so Mike Morrell has testified under oath to Congress that he wouldn't have even asked. He wouldn't even written this letter. He wouldn't have come up with this idea unless Tony Blinken called him.
Look, I see it very clearly. Tony Blinken called him from the campaign and said, you know, we saw this Washington Post story and he clutched his pearls and was saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe this could be Russian disinformation. Maybe he didn't say get together 51 people and write a letter, but he certainly presented the political opportunity to Mike Morrell, who immediately clear-eyed got the message from Anthony Blinken and went out and did politics. Let me just also add, for the Secretary of State to say that he doesn't do politics is a farce. He has embassies around the world where every single embassy has a division within the embassy called the political division. The political officers are how they're named. Of course they do politics. What Anthony Blinken should have said is, I'm not doing partisan politics. He didn't say that. He immediately just said, oh, I don't do politics. Maybe that's the problem with Anthony Blinken. The world is working on politics, the politics of war, the politics of water, the politics of a whole bunch of issues. And Anthony Blinken doesn't realize he's supposed to be doing politics.
Rick, I'm holding in my hand our federal lawsuit that we filed, our FOIA case that we did the demand. They didn't, of course, respond. We went to federal court. Got to file a status report, by the way, in the middle of June. American Center for Law and Justice versus the Federal Bureau of Investigation in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia. What I think it'd be good for people to hear from you because you were inside government. You were the member of the cabinet, director of national intelligence. You've also been an ambassador to a G7 country, Germany. But from the intelligence standpoint, how important is it? Because what I'm telling people is the way we're going to find out who's behind all this and then you work with Congress to hold these people accountable is to get the data. Without the information, this you could talk about it, but you got to take action here, which is precisely what we're doing.
Look, I think it's clear that what we have to be able to do is get the intelligence agencies to say that not a single one of these 51 people had any piece of intelligence or had a briefing. None of them ever had a briefing suggesting that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. They made it up. They did it for politics, partisan politics reasons. And so we need Avril Haines, who is the director of national intelligence, to come out and protect the intelligence agencies from this partisan manipulation. Right now, the intelligence agencies are taking a huge hit because leaders of the intelligence agencies are caught red-handed making partisan politics during an election season, 3 weeks before an election. They're making it a part of the intelligence agencies. If Avril Haines doesn't come out and distance herself and make clear that these 51 people acted without any raw intelligence or intelligence briefings, then she is damaging the intelligence agencies.
All right, Rick, we appreciate it as always. Appreciate your insights. Glad you're part of our team. Folks, we get people like Rick Grenell, former director of national intelligence, ambassador to Germany, decades worth of experience at the United Nations because of your support of the ACLJ. We're able to go to federal court to get to the bottom of this because of your support of the ACLJ. Let me encourage you to support our work. You go to aclj.org and become a member of the ACLJ. Just make a donation and you become a member. And I encourage you to do it. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We have one, count it one, phone line open. So if you want to give us a call, do so. 1-800-684-3110. If you're on the line, and there's five of you that are, stay on the line. We're going to get to your calls in this next segment of the broadcast. But again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Follow us on all the social media. Make sure you hit like and share on whatever application you're working. Our preferred, of course, is Rumble. But if you're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, whatever it might be, we encourage you to do that as well. And you can at Jordan Seculo, at Jay Seculo, at Logan Seculo, and at ACLJ. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Welcome back to Seculo. We're taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the IRS issue with their funding of the $10 million weapons spending spree they've been on the last couple of years. That just got reported. That's from a government report, by the way. That's not an allegation. That's a report. We're talking about the intelligence community letter. We now know, we see the email from Mike Morrell to John Brennan. People have asked, you know, how many people are still in the intelligence community. Remember at the end of that letter, it also said, we know there's one named, but there's also nine people who they say they can't name because they're currently in the intelligence community. There's no indication those nine people are no longer there. So, I mean, there's at least 10 that we can count to right now that are likely still working on the taxpayer dollar who signed a letter that was false to impact an American election.
And the others may be working for AI companies that work with the intel agencies. That happens right. A lot. Let's go ahead and take phone calls. We're going to take them in order. You call if you do want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Let's go take a phone call, Jordan.
Yeah, Twyla in California online too. Hey, Twyla.
Hi, Jay. Hi, you guys. By the way, we love your work. And I had two statements. Of the 51 people that signed that paper confirming that it was true, how many of those people still have their clearance? And my other statement is of the guns. All this time, the IRS was stockpiling their guns, but then trying to strip
answer
up.
Her question. Okay, Twyla, let me answer your first question. How many still have security clearances? I'd venture to say all 51, because there's been no adverse action taken on their misinformation campaign. That's why I didn't want to cut you off to be rude. I wanted to answer your question. The 51 of them, 10 of them about, are with the government still. They have the others. There's no indication that their security clearances have been modified or revoked. In fact, there's no indication that there's been any adverse action. That's why we're going to federal court to find out who is behind all this and what got the FBI to then go to the social media companies based on this Russian disinformation that ended up being totally not Russian disinformation. It was Antony Blinken disinformation, Mike Morrell disinformation, John Brennan disinformation. I could read the other 47 people on that list. So go ahead with your second question, Twyla.
And my other question is, why are we paying for this? The IRS is building up a military against us Americans.
This is the weaponization of the federal agencies. And I'm not talking about just they're going after their political enemies. I'm talking about literal weaponization of these agencies. And I worked for Treasury. I worked for the IRS. I was their lawyer. I worked for Chief Counsel's Office of the IRS. And as Jordan said earlier, the IRS agents normally don't go into the front line of something, you know, with badges and machine guns. That's the FBI tactical groups that do that. So, I mean, there may be incidents where they do, when a particularly dangerous thing, like a drug bust, maybe they're trying to, what they call a jeopardy assessment, but they normally would not go in like that. But it's the we're going to get to the bottom of this. It's the weaponization of the agencies, not just political weaponization, but the actual weaponization of those agencies that we're going to get to. We said we take calls. Let's keep taking them.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to Martha in New Jersey on line three. Hey, Martha.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You're on the air.
Okay, so the question that I have is, I'm certainly appalled about the weaponization of the IRS. I'm a CPA by trade, and the first thing that comes to mind is, as you know, part of the profession, what can the profession do to join you and fight this? Because when I think of a CPA, I think of integrity, and I think of utmost honesty. And I just can't see a whole bunch of accountants lining up to get jobs at the IRS with literally machine guns to enforce.
Yeah, but that's what they're hiring.
But this is what's so fascinating, Martha. It's great that you're a CPA, because here's what if you wanted somebody in the criminal investigation division of the IRS, you'd want them to be a CPA, or at least close to a CPA. CPA is a very highly ranked, tax professional, but a CPA or someone in that realm that has training in the tax code. I get that. They work with the Justice Department. But as Martha said, you don't send them into a situation where they're in a battle. But, they're weaponizing these agencies. And I'm saying, I'd like to know what the...
They are weaponizing accountants.
I'd like to know what the American Institute of Certified Public AICPA has to say. It's the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, what they're thinking.
Yeah, because it is bizarre. They're weaponized. They're not just saying we need security people that have that background. To get this job, you must have accounting skills. So you're going to be an accountant with an automatic weapon. It's two skill sets. Like Martha said, they don't really go together. So, that's not the same kind of personality. It's not the person that you would want to have the automatic weapon to secure you in that situation. Even if this was something legitimate, this job doesn't sound legitimate.
So let me tell you how it would work.
Who is this person?
No, let me tell you how it worked when I was with Treasury. It was a long time ago, but it's basically the same thing. And you have a Treasury manual that governs this. So let's say you had a case, and I'm the lawyer in my old office, and I got a file, and I say, and it was produced by CID, Criminal Investigation Division. They're saying, hey, this may be what we call a referral, Jordan, a CID referral. And I would do what's called a CID referral letter from the Department of the Treasury to the Department of Justice, which is the enforcement mechanism. And the Department of Justice would then determine whether they're going to send in agents. They would not be generally they'd be FBI agents, not IRS agents. The IRS Criminal Division investigates cases that may be criminal tax, but it's always referred to the Department of Justice. So this need for weaponization is preposterous, frankly.
Yeah. We could go back to the phones, take more calls. Let's go to Warren in Utah on line one. Hey, Warren.
Hey, guys. Great to hear you guys. You guys are awesome.
You're on the air.
Hey, I got a question for you about immigration. I was just wondering, I'm really concerned about all these people coming across the southern border next week. Is there something that us Americans could do to stop this? I've been trying to call my congressmen and my senators, but all I get is the same answer, that they're trying to work on it. But I'm not getting no response from nobody. And isn't it the duty of the federal government to protect all the Americans?
Influx of huge numbers. Mayorkas was down there yesterday. They didn't make much of a statement on it, but the truth is the cities are, and by the way, Democratic mayors of cities that are more liberal politically leaning are saying we're about to get an invasion here.
Yep.
Flooded with people.
Hundreds of thousands.
And they have no capability of handling it.
They can't expel them anymore.
And
so
listen,
you have to process.
Through our work in federal court, we were able to get information that showed that at 2, and now we know 70, individuals on the terror watch list. Do we have that video loaded, that one-minute video? If we do, I'm going to play it after the program, just to let people see that are watching on social media. We were able to uncover in federal court that FBI, Department of Homeland Security, knew that individuals on the terror watch list got in to the United States through their southern border. That's how dangerous the situation is, and it's about to get, unfortunately, much, much worse.
Yes, folks, we want you to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Donate today. That's how we do this work. That's how we have the broadcast team that we have as well, but also the work that we talk about here gets done, not just by a handful of us, but by an entire team of attorneys, government affairs specialists here in the United States and around the world. So support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Donate today. We also remind you as well, you can share this broadcast in just a few minutes. If you're watching this broadcast anywhere like Rumble, YouTube, and Facebook, in a few minutes, if you thought what was this news was important that we discussed today, you can share that with your friends and family. So I encourage you to do that as well.
Yep.
If you subscribe on these pages, hit that button as well. And we will talk to you next week on Secular.
If you're on our social media, stay there. We're going to play for you a very special report. You're going to want to stay tuned for this. Share it with your friends. Here we go.